Hi, this is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Alan Vizzuti. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome today Alan Vizzuti. It's a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here and be back in Montana.
Yeah, well, we're going to definitely talk about the back in Montana portion of this. Ritzville is the most recent recording, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that and also featuring some of the music from that as well as some of your other recordings. Very strong Montana connections. I do want to come back to that, but I do want to just kind of give a little ego stroke here for you as I go through some of your accolades. So just sit back and enjoy this for a second.
I'll try.
Really, it's a remarkable career that has straddled both the jazz and the classical worlds and definitely some stuff in between. But just to scratch the surface here, 2 degrees from the Eastman School of Music, very prestigious conservatory, of course. Performances in both symphonic and the jazz settings in over 60 countries. That's another thing I definitely want to touch on, including some venues that folks may have heard of, including the Hollywood Bowl, the Carnegie Hall, Montreux Jazz Festival. Performed in soundtracks for movies like Back to the Future, Star Trek, Black Stallion, Rocky II, and Broadcast News. Composed works which led to premieres by the Los Angeles Philharmonic, the Woody Herman Band, the London Symphony Orchestra. Obviously, education is very much a part of your career and your world. Teaching at Eastman and West Texas State and University of Washington, just to name a few schools, and developing your own trumpet method. So jumping into the person Alan Vizzuti, I love the, and I told you and I prepared you that I'm going to use Alan's favorite bio from his website. With all that said, he's never been in prison. He's never jumped out of an airplane, but he has swam with sharks, which prepared him to work in Hollywood. So with that, welcome again, Alan, to the program. So
that's a bio that I throw out there on my website for people I'm going to visit and work with as a choice. And sometimes it gets selected to be a little more clear on that. But yeah, it has some truth to it.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So grew up here in Montana, specifically in Missoula. You know, and I should add, too, that was mentioned that you grew up in a household without guns and chewing tobacco. So, and that you wanted to make sure that folks understood that in that era, that was rare.
Yeah. It's more of a joke than any political commentary, by the way. Yeah.
So the question then that begs to be asked, how does a guy from Missoula, Montana embark on such a really remarkable career? I was looking over this and thinking about it and thinking, what a great combination of just incredibly great working player gigs, but also a lot of opportunities to really develop yourself as an artist and a composer and all those things.
Well, in the overall picture, a lot of it is taking challenges on and doing the best you can do with a lot of hard work. And some of it is a bit of luck or serendipity and cards and doors opening and cards falling your way, or strange metaphor. But basically here in Missoula, we had a really good music all-city kind of program and good high school program in the University of Montana, which I was active in. And my father taught me to play all the way from beginner until, he's an amateur trumpet player, all the way until I went to Eastman School of Music as a university. So, and those, the combination of events really prepared me more than I had imagined at the time. Looking back, you can see four steps to come. And so my parents were very willing to send me to a summer camp in Michigan. You mentioned Interlochen, which is an international thing of quite a high level in terms of the age group. For rehearsals, we would do 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds. We'd play major works in symphony orchestras after four rehearsals weekly. But it was really fun to get a bearing on what was out there in the world too early. Mm-hmm. And, you know, parents of the day, and probably even a bit now, don't worry about their male children as much as some of the female children, is unfair but true. And they just said, go spread your wings and see what happens, you know. And then when it came to university days, it wasn't a time when we could afford to travel and visit schools. Don't get me started on that, because I've done it with my own kids and my wife has too. And sometimes they just like the cafeteria. So I'm not sure visiting is all that wonderful sometimes, but anyway, or all that useful. But anyway, we just applied to some name schools, and there were some teachers at the university here. And a couple of those people were alumni of Eastman School of Music, and some from Oberlin and some from other places. So we just applied through mail and with a recorded, like reel-to-reel tape, to these schools. And we took the first name school that took the bait and gave us scholarship money. I'd never been there, had no idea. Eastman in Rochester, New York. Had no idea what New York was like in terms of the city. Not the city, Rochester City.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a really good fit. Thank you.
let's go back to the trumpet, and I'm realizing that with that elaborate introduction I gave you, I never mentioned your instrument. but let's go back to the trumpet, and I've been asking this question to singers a lot. I'm going to ask it to you and kind of adapt it. Was there a moment early on around this time where you realized that when you put this instrument to your mouth and blew into it and made sound out of it, you were getting people's attention? Like, so you had, something was going on. This was something more than just maybe something to get through the school day. This is, you're connecting with people.
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit.
That's very literal, scientific, and emotional. And it did happen early. The first few months, I kind of dabbled a little bit because I remember my dad kind of putting his foot down at one point, maybe 9 months after starting, and saying, look, you're going to have to sit down and learn this A, B, and C if we're going to continue. And I said, oh, okay, you know. And then I started to play some soloistic literature. And yes, even in the living room, it didn't have to be the concert hall. You could feel that kind of connection musically and communicatively, which is something, by the way, that I have talked, I consistently talk about the importance of that, making people, listeners, feel good by playing with students and convincing them that it just has to be from the heart and with a good sound, and you've done it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be the most technical thing or whatever. And I've experienced that around countries, many countries where we're culturally different, musically different, food's different, religion's different, housing's different, and the look is different. And it's brother and sister when the music starts. So I did feel that. I didn't try to define it. I just noticed it. Mm. And the only ways I've defined it since have been to talk about it, again, looking back in educational ways and things. But it's very powerful and makes you healthy.
Alan, I want to jump ahead quite a ways here. I'm skipping over. We're going kind of going from your beginning of your career and going to your most recent recording. But I wanted to talk about Ritzville. I know there's a couple different things that are interesting here. Well, certainly the musicians you played with were noticeable. Chick Corea and Stanley Clark, to name a couple off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that you recorded in Seattle. And that, if I'm not mistaken, that was kind of an unusual step for you, because Seattle in and of itself has sometimes been sort of a struggle to find your niche in terms of the venues in which to play your music. Am I correct with that?
Kind of. I mean, basically my career is a traveling away from somewhere. We've been as a family in Seattle 26 years. So over the years, I've played in Seattle in different forms, whether it's with the university or the Seattle Symphony or some jazz or show thing, quite a few times, but nothing regular. Mm. And with all the traveling I've been doing and such, I have not really focused on putting a band together of my own doing. I've done it a couple times for appearances, but not held it together, kept it together. I would like to do that, but on the other hand, to be honest with you, at this stage in my life, I'm not really interested in playing that kind of till 2 a.m. club thing during the week sort of deal. The music can be great, but I don't, lifestyle wise, not so much.
Yeah.
And that's basically why Seattle has become just kind of a place to write, be at home, do the family thing. Although our three kids are now flown the coop. Mm-hmm. They're in their 20s. But it's a great airport. And we like the shopping, we like the food, we like the mixed culture, we like the symphony, the ballet, the sports teams, all that stuff. There's a lot there. Mm-hmm. And the outdoors, national parks nearby and all that stuff. It's been a great lifestyle for us. So, yeah. That's kind of the package we went for.
Mm-hmm.
And a good airport was important.
So with that setting, talk about how the project came together. And how Chick and Stanley and all the other players kind of came in and just talk about the material and just the whole process.
Sure. Without getting too detailed, I like to do not only some straight ahead jazz, but also some crossover kind of rhythms, maybe Latin influenced or backbeat influenced. But I like melodic stuff. The actual project was, first of all, funding and business part. And then, you know, arranging for players to come in, those who I wanted to come in. But anyway, it really was a studio project and concept. But the guys, the rhythm section guys, came up for a week and we played the music, but we didn't rehearse it a lot. We took kind of a lot of what we call basic tracks to work with and played through things and soloed. The improvisation is not manipulated with much, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, so it's spontaneous, but it's also got a studio flavor and well produced, I think. We'll be right back.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musicians Spotlight. I'm speaking today with trumpeter and composer Alan Vizzuti. Alan, want to kind of go in another direction here, related to music, obviously, but I want to talk about just your world travels. Even a quick look at your website gallery shows not only promo photos and snapshots with Keith Jarrett and so forth, but images from all over the world.
Yeah.
And I'm always in awe of musicians whose life and their journey with music has taken them to such amazing places. Let's just talk about that part of what you have done with your musical journey, because I think it's absolutely fascinating.
My first trip out of the United States was when I was the summer before going to university. And I only mention that to kind of set a milestone, which was to the UK with a group of students who were a band made up of Americans. And from that point on, when I went on the road with Woody Herman and Chick Corea, the first tour with Chick Corea was 3 months out of the country. My passport had extra pages. It looked like an accordion. And what an eye-opener. And the worldview that you get and the fact that you learn that there are beautiful people and beautiful places in every country, and that music is such a universal thing. To this day, the bookings keep developing around the world. I'll be in 9 countries this year so far. Lots of Europe, China, and Argentina so far are booked, and which has actually been helpful for me. Sidebar, when the 2008 recession hit and people were rolling up the carpet, well, there was quite a bit of international activity that helped me to just, make a living and keep going and all that. Mm-hmm. There are definite challenges. I mean, the remarkable technology we have for air travel is miraculous. You get on a silver tube and you get off in another country in a few hours. But on the other hand, I'm not always flying first class, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets kind of grueling, time changes and all that sort of thing.
Sure.
But the opportunity to go to places that I would never dreamed of visiting before, and sometimes many times, has been completely fantastic. My wife and I do quite a bit of travel because she's a pianist, and so we play classical music together. Mm-hmm. And that opportunity is there. I can't emphasize how much I think it helps a person to understand other people if you get a chance to just go somewhere, even around the United States. Have an open mind about what other people think and what they are experiencing, and realize that there are pockets of different styles of life, whether it has to do with government or healthcare or music or culture. They're all valid and really fun to check out. And my trumpet has been a ticket to most of that.
Well, I have to, the question that comes to mind is, could you ever have imagined growing up in Missoula, Montana, that you're your life was going to take that kind of a turn.
Not specifically the travel part, but yes.
The music part, yes.
Well, going out there into the, I guess just call it the world, and not knowing what's there really, because you don't know details when you're a kid. But dreaming about taking the music far and out of my current sphere was definitely an early concept for me. And did not have boundaries in terms of, I can't do this because of that. Yeah.
I'm wondering, hearing you say that, if there's something innately Montanan about that kind of thinking, because you grew up in a state in which to go anywhere, you have to
literal,
go.
Yeah,
I mean, all joking aside, you have to be able to envision that. And the concept of lack of boundaries, growing up in a landscape in which there are not nearly as many boundaries as many other American musicians even.
I don't see why that wouldn't be literal if you compare it to, say, a Manhattan, New York City, Manhattan dweller who is very uncomfortable in the open, kind of. Mm-hmm. But that certainly, if you shift over more to a bit of the business side, in other words, making your career have some practical operating foundational elements of business, you can take anybody in any walk of business or life, and there are the entrepreneurial types who think are unlimited thoughts. And say the word Elon Musk, and away you go, right? Thank you.
Alan, it's also very obvious in going to your website and seeing some of those pictures in the photo gallery. It seems like you have a very balanced life.
Well, I think that my wife is hugely influential there, and I should mention that she is a world-class pianist and has her own career with me, and then practices a ton also and teaches some. One other thing, I guess, for perspective of our listeners. You've been really promoting how successful and great my career is and everything, and I really appreciate that. But I think, to be honest, I do have chunks of time when I'm home. I can manage my own time. And the work I have to do or want to do, both practicing and writing music, for instance, I can kind of choose my times of day and things like that. So it's a bit more flexible than some people think. And my travel at the most is about half the year. Which to someone goes, oh my gosh, half the year. But don't forget there's half the year that I'm kind of controlling my own time too. Mm-hmm. I think probably if I had a 9-to-5 job or some, even if it was a high-end thing at some law firm or something, I would have a little trouble with that because I don't know how to do that.
Vizzuti.com is the name of the website. I will spell that for listeners, V-I-Z-Z-U-T-T-I. Vizzuti.com. That's where you can find out what's going on in the world of Alan Vizzuti. And again, Ritzville is the name of the most recent recording. Alan, thanks so much for making time to be a guest in Musician Spotlight. It's been a pleasure visiting with you.
I'm thrilled to have done this, and thank you for asking me.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Alan Vizzuti. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.